Welcome to MGO Podcast 13.0B, in which we talk about Michigan's defense in the year 2021. Endure. I'm less rusty at this now because I have literally just done this an hour ago. This is the defenses segment of the Michigan Football Preview Podcast put on by mgoblog.com. That's us. I'm Brian Cook.
I am Seth Fisher.
I'm Alex Drain.
He's Alex Drain.
He's getting better at it.
And we are here to talk about the defense, which has been completely overhauled. But before we do that, speaking of complete overhauls,
they're actually a very literal overhaul here. Like we are coming back. We are bringing everybody back from last year, and that includes Underground Printing, who makes this all possible. Rishi and Ryan are still behind us, and you should still go to Underground Printing, especially this week, because you can get Hail of the Victors at one of those places. Or you can go to undergroundshirts.com and look at their custom apparel business. So if you ever need your own t-shirts printed, those are the guys to go to. Also, you should go to Home Assured Lending, Ann Arbor Elder Law,
Peak Wealth Management,
Michigan Law Grad, Human Element, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, the Raw Power app for iOS by Gentleman Coders, Signal Wire, which is what we recorded on during the pandemic instead of Zoom because we hate Zoom, and we are also at 4M.
Forum.
The Forum.
You got it wrong again.
They call it Forum.
Right, let me do it. Hey, we're coming to you again today from the podcast studio in Forum, Prentice Partners' beautiful brand new flagship property at 830 Henry Street in Lower Burns Park. You can also rent a Forum unit through Airbnb for shorter stays. This would be a fantastic place to stay for a football weekend, walking distance. Prentice's owners, Marge and Heidi Poscher, live in Burns Park and recently announced plans for their next big investment in the community called Venue at the former Lucky's Market site on South Industrial. We'll tell you more about it next time, but it's scheduled to open just in time for the 2022 Frozen Four March Madness, and you will want to check it out. I live in this area, and I am happy that building is going to be something cool. All right. Speaking of something cool that has not yet been proven in any way whatsoever, Mike McDonald.
Yeah, speaking of first-time coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Harbaugh thought that he is like the guy, the brains behind what's been going on at the Ravens. He is a guy that if we were not Michigan, if it was like, you know, if we were Toledo or something, and I'd be like, that's a really interesting hire for defensive coordinator.
That's not a good thing.
This is not this guy's first opportunity to coordinate, but it's like where good coordinators come from.
I mean, he just, like, asked his brother, do you have any guys that you don't really need?
Or his brother was like, hey, you know, take this guy off my hands because he's going to get hired by Iowa State and kill you one day.
Or, like, he's like his brother's like, I'm going to do you a solid. Here's Mike McDonald.
They were at Thanksgiving, and they played two-and-touch football, and whoever won
got
Mike McDonald.
That is probably the most likely thing that happened, just because the Harbaugh brothers. Anyway, we got Mike McDonald, who came up through the Georgia system. He, you know, coached under Mike Richt for years.
This stuff is going to go in the final segment because I know that you have done an off-season deep dive on Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of previewing the defense, what we just need from you right now is sort of what positions no longer exist and what positions have replaced them.
Well, we've got an extra guy on the defensive line now.
So they're going with a 5-2.
Yep. Or 5-1 sometimes. The extra linebacker could be like a little bit of a hybrid. So, and yeah, no more Viper. Viper does not exist. We have nothing like a Viper anymore. Unless they do. I mean, they're multiple. They're multiple. We don't know, Brian. We don't know. It's multiple. So, yeah.
How are you going to live without a space backer in 2021?
More cornerbacks on the field.
Oh! The worst possible answer. All right.
We'll do safeties instead. But
all right, let's just dive right into it. The defensive line gets back Aiden Hutchinson, who should be an All-American or close enough.
Yes.
And then it's just a field of question marks.
Right. So, I mean, they're turning Aiden Hutchinson into an outside linebacker, but that is pretty much
he's just an edge, right?
He's
like,
an edge,
there's a reason that everybody has gone through this. It's A distinction mostly without a difference. He's an edge.
The distinction is, and this will get into the how it looks all together kind of thing, but he's going to be playing a lot more outside. He's going to need to pass rush outside the tackle a lot more than having to like dive in and make up for the fact that we don't have tackles.
Did that problem get solved?
Well, we added another one, so maybe three of them can do better than two. And I no one knows. I mean, they are really, really kind of banking on Mozzie Smith to be the guy who steps forward at nose tackle. Maybe he was kind of, you know, fish out of water at Don Brown's system, and this is kind of more his forte of just being a big, large person in the A-gap.
And to be clear, this nose tackle is like a Wisconsin-style nose tackle.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, so his job is going to be, mostly the linemen, their job is going to be to keep the linebackers clean. And so we're going to be judging them a lot more on that than whether they can get into the backfield and make plays, which is kind of how we were judging them before. Which, maybe that's kind of going to help with Donovan Jeter and Chris Hinton as well, because neither one of those guys really generated a lot of pass rush. So, I mean, those three, they all have a lot of talent, right? They're all four stars or above. And... you know, Jeter, we're sick of hearing it, but, like, he's, you know, we saw a little bit of it last year. He was all right last year.
So these three guys are the projected starters at these?
Yep. Smith at nose tackle, and then the other two.
Flanking him?
Yep.
Yeah.
These guys are two-gap guys, or are they, like, one-and-a-half gap guys, where sometimes, I mean, they can't be, I mean, they're multiple, right? So they can't just be, like, 4-3,
right.
3-4 defensive ends.
I think that the nose is going to be a two-gapper, and the other two, in general, right? Everything changes all the time. But
right.
In general, they're going to be
focus.
A one-gap guy. Or a, you know, the idea is to have them dominate a guard so bad that it's hard to get outside because that guy's pushed into the backfield.
And Hutchinson is an outside linebacker. I'm using air quotes, everybody.
Right.
Very visual podcast.
And then, he'll probably play standing up a lot.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't think. I mean, if you watch the Ravens, they stand up a lot, but they also put their hand in the dirt and they move them around and like you know they're not going to you know have a. I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be more featured this year than last year, just because like last year he had to like make up for so much problems on the inside.
I mean, they both did, but then they both got hurt. Yay! Yay
so
last year.
We've heard a ton of hype about Mozzie Smith.
Have we?
Yes, that's been the theme of the summer to fall camp. The question with him is going to be stamina.
Right.
Can he stay?
But they got a 370-pound guy from Oregon State.
Because that's not a question about stamina.
Yeah, so the question is consistency for Mozzie, and can he stay on the field for long drives? Can he last late into games? Can he maintain his quality of play over 12-game season?
Anything behind him?
No.
Nothing.
They have Jordan Whitley, who they brought in from Oregon State, who is a body that is very large.
Yes.
And I think you wrote he was on his seventh cat life
in
football.
Like, he's had numerous injuries, position switches, like what, three schools?
Nobody is relying on him for anything.
And in terms of the defensive tackles, beyond that, it gets grisly pretty fast. Jess Spate is on the twos. We heard Elijah Pierre, who transferred from Brown last year, as working with the twos.
I don't know who that is.
I put him into our roster only because he was a plausible
he
nose
showed
tackle
up,
last year.
He showed up in depth chart conversations this week.
So he was on the team last year.
Yeah, but he didn't see the field.
He did not see the field last year at defensive tackle.
Yes.
Yes.
And...
I this is a very visual podcast because you can't really see Brian's face right now. Where all the pores are open at the same time.
Okay, so like Upshaw and Newberg and Welshoff.
They're all, well, Welshoff.
They don't have positions in this defense anymore.
Welshoff's interesting. The rumor's been is that, you know, he was new to football and learning the new scheme after having already learned a scheme slows him down a little bit, but they really like his athleticism. I don't know where he's going to play if he plays.
I mean, he was a defensive tackle last year, but he's more of like an anchor type guy, and now that's not something that they have.
Right, right. And he's going to have to fit into one of those tackle positions. And, you know, you're going to hate this. Jess Spate has been mentioned over Chris Hinton by some people, too.
Yes, I do.
So
I do hate that.
I figured you would hate that, but they also.
You have to hate it. Everybody.
Yes.
The walk on who is not named Glasgow. Is playing over the five-star. This is not good to hear.
I think Jess Spate's parents in Wilton are happy to hear that.
Anybody else?
That's it. And Joey George has been mentioned. He's another walk-on. So... Yeah. I mean, Newberg is not playing that position. Newberg is outside linebacker.
Yep.
And so is Michael Morris, who is another guy that got
Morris is going to be
Morris was like the talk of spring.
And he's getting a lot of hype recently. So yeah.
All right. So we have the like defensive end that stands up guy.
Uh-huh.
And then the other outside linebacker, what is he shaped like? What is his deal?
It's Wisconsin-ish. It's still so like they're defensive ends.
Yeah.
Just think of defensive ends. They're going to be defensive ends.
So the solution for this defense is to put 5 defensive linemen on the field.
Yes.
Yes.
And
get rid of the space backer.
And here's the thing. This is why they're, quote, multiple. I don't think the backup to Mozzie Smith is necessarily Whitley. I think the backup to Mozzie Smith is we're going to play a lot of nickel, where there is no nose guard on the field, and it's just exactly like last year.
All right.
So...
All right.
We haven't mentioned David Ojabo yet. He seems to be the other edge guy opposite Hutchinson.
They're saying a lot of good things about Ojabo. They're saying he's getting it. They're saying, like, you know, he didn't get a chance last year because he was stuck in Scotland beforehand.
So,
and he was coming on late last year. So
the base defense literally has 5 defensive linemen on it.
Yes.
Yes.
In 2021.
Yes.
Yes.
So do the Baltimore Ravens. So does Wisconsin.
No, because Wisconsin's outside linebackers are linebackers.
Okay.
These are defensive ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yep.
That's true. That's true. I can't argue with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little skeptical here.
The coaches are really happy with the edge guys, though. And they think that is one of the strengths of the defense.
I mean, clearly it will be.
Yeah.
It's just that... You know, you're getting Jake Ryan over a bubble screen kind of vibes here, right?
Yeah, they're going to... I mean, I've watched a lot of Ravens film this year, and we can talk about this in the last part of this, but, like, you know, as far as the defensive ends are... the defensive linemen, I think they're trying to take pressure off of them by giving them simpler jobs, and part of that is playing like this. And this, if they screw up simpler jobs, then there's not anyone behind them, which is... I think they're going to get gashed. I think that there's going to be plays where they get gashed, and there's going to be plays where they get, you know, they kick the other team off the field, and that might actually be better than last year, than when we were just kind of getting shoved down the field all the whole game. It's a gamble. It's a gamble.
Hey, Aiden Hutchinson's pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Let's take a break and come back and talk about something else.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting U of M apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our 3 convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go. HomeSure Lending. Both fair and honest, HomeSure Lending is local, efficient, and small enough so you'll work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds maize and blue, and so does his family.
Hey, this is Matt Demarest. I'm the owner of HomeSure Lending. We're a small, local, family-owned business, and so I'm here with a couple of members of my family, Cooper and Colby, my boys. Cooper, how old are you, buddy?
9.
Colby, what about you?
7.
Who's the best team in the whole country?
Michigan!
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
We're a family business here in Ann Arbor. I'd love to serve you and your family with any of your mortgage needs.
Located at 2723 South State Street in Ann Arbor. For more info, go to homeshorelending.com. That's HOMESURELENDING. You can reach Matt at 734-531-9950. Home Shore Lending, NMLS 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
It can be a rough ride along the information superhighway. That's why we build our e-commerce websites tough enough to handle the load. With the capacity to take hundreds of simultaneous online transactions and the stability of load-balanced co-located server architectures, a website from Human Element performs in the roughest conditions. Thousands of products? No problem. We'll throw in the tools to manage them with precision and efficiency. All with a design slick enough to make you think your girlfriend might be impressed. So load it up and hit the gas and let Human Element show you the way. Special offers available for returning lessees. Financing available with approved credit to qualified buyers. Client participation may affect savings. Optional equipment available at additional cost. See human-element.com for details.
Yes, y'all.
Logic procreation. I did not invent the wheel. I was the crooked spoke adjacent. While the triple sixers lassos keep angels roped in the basement. I walk the block with a halo and a stick, poking your patience. Y'all catch a 30 second flash visual. Dirty cooperative net platoon. Bloom head trip split ridiculous. Bad on the splicing of first generation. Fuck up with trickle down any hero smack. Crackin'. I paced me game for 0 hour completion. Green slash. Duke of early retirement. Pick a dream. American nightmare hogging the screen. Hold the door open so you can stumble in if you'd stop following me round the jungle gym. Now it's honor and I spell it with the H I stole from heritage. Merit crunch stole the wretched refuse of my teeming resonance. I promise. Tempest towards breed with a bleeding conscience. See the Creed accent's responsive, but my sports.
Alex! Seth! I need takes so raw they could be Michigan's defensive coaching staff. Rudy! I guess I'm not supposed to do that anymore. I used to do that a lot, and now I can't. So I didn't do that. Anyway.
You banged the table, though, and I think the mic picked that up. So if anyone's wondering what the, like, gling was the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I'm just doing my thing. Yeah, I gotta get hyped. Alex! Seth! Seth, give me your hottest, rawest take.
We are underrating the secondary because of a year that any reasonable person agrees should not count.
Okay.
Yes. Last year does not count. Throw it out.
Throw it away.
Throw it away. Mm. And Vincent Gray is what he is, and everybody else is fine. Jamon Green, fine. Probably like a top five, top six cornerback in the Big Ten.
Whoa!
Possible. I mean, that is... Look at the cornerbacks around the Big Ten. That's not saying that nice of a thing.
Okay.
if you say there's four cornerbacks in this horrible league better than Jamon Green right now, that's not actually not that nice of a thing to say.
Okay.
But, you know, Vincent Gray, there's reasons he could be good. Jaden McDuro's, there's reason he could be good. Some of the guys they haven't talked about, it's, you know, there's no way to have the season we had last year and then have an off season where they can be positive. Even if things look good, there's no way they can even say it. And you go back, and you know, you can still use Dax Hill at cornerback too. We've lived through so many worse secondaries, especially because they switched coverages last year. There's just it doesn't count. Last year does not count.
Okay, Alex, I need your rawest take.
David Ojabo will get multiple All Big Ten votes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
we don't really know what he is, but he's freakishly athletic.
Yeah.
He was stuck in Scotland last year. This is where he takes off.
I kind of feel like I would accept that more if we're talking about next year. Next year feels like the Ojabo liftoff phase.
I would agree. I think that you're still going to see some stuff this year. And, you know, if he gets on the field a little bit and gets like six sacks, and like they look at numbers. So they're like, oh, this guy didn't play. I mean, they did that with Uche too, right? Like they'd see the numbers. I could see it with Ojabo too.
All right. My raw take is a total of four defensive linemen play. I'm just counting the tackles and the ends here.
Okay.
So, I mean, that they're the three starters, and I'm going to say Jess Spate gets some time.
So you're counting out Juice?
Oh,
Because, like, they're going to use him on passing downs at least.
No, right? I mean on standard downs.
Okay.
So no passing down whatnots flipping guys out. Okay. Just, like, standard
you
downs.
You left standard downs out of your whole voice thing.
Like. Sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. They're gonna do some hijinks on passing downs.
Right.
Standard downs, a total of, four, like Hinton doesn't leave the field. Jeter doesn't leave the field. Mozzie Smith leaves the field sometimes for a walk-on. That's crazy now that I said it out loud. That's crazy. That's impossible.
Insane.
That's insane.
I mean, they're going to throw Whitley out there for, you know,
no.
for something.
Nope.
They're going to put Rashawn Benny out there sometimes.
Nope. Nope. They're not going to do any of that. Four.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to go down the list. We need, like, oh, God, Jack Stewart is on the three deep. Michael Morris, they like him a lot.
I thought he was an outside linebacker now.
He is.
Yeah. I can't count him. But they can move him inside. Ike Iwuna, nope. No, he's not playing this year.
All right.
There you go. Joey George, he's going to get on the field.
Stop.
Elijah Pierre.
Stop saying those names! Like, I know that these guys are like they can write like a 8-page paper and it's coherent and it's good and it makes a good argument and that terrifies me. It's terrible. All right.
So if you think we made painted a beautiful picture just now, you can make much better looking pictures using the Raw Power app on iOS. Just go on your iPhone and look up Raw Power app and we will keep on making these silly noises.
All right, linebacker. There are two. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so one fewer than last year, really. Because they were playing their Viper as really just a linebacker.
Well, yes. He's the classic, like, everybody's got one. We're called Leo or Hero or Ninjoid. I mean, there's always that guy who is just a space backer.
But they weren't even having Michael Barrett do the space backer stuff last year. He was, like, just a linebacker. And the year before that, they were having Kalik Hudson really just play like a Sam linebacker. Like, they weren't, like, they'd take tight ends down the field, but they weren't going and playing deep safety at all.
Yes,
like, that's what you're supposed to do with that.
That's important. Right? Being able to carry a tight end down the seam is important.
Sure. That's an important thing.
And now the guy who's doing that is going
to
be David Ojabo?
Hey, remember when Uche tracked that guy down against Penn State?
Yes! But, like, that's Uche. Uche was actually a linebacker-ish kind of fellow.
So, I think that I talked about this last bit, too, but, like, I think they're going to play a lot more nickel than we realize. And nickel, they remove the...
they remove one of the
defensive nose guard, tackles. And then
you're just in a 4-3, except you're bringing on a cornerback?
I think they're going to...
They're going to bring on another safety.
And we could talk about that next
but
thing. We're really going to play with two linebackers.
Your starters at linebacker are Barrett and Hill Green.
Ross and Hill Green.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Barrett kind of got passed by Hill Green in fall camp. And Hill Green's a guy they were talking about last year before they really had to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, his teammate Austin Savage transferred, and, like, all the other linebackers they had were like, well, if that guy's ahead of me, I'm leaving because that guy's got lower eligibility than I have.
That's a very optimistic take.
I mean, they left for depth chart reasons, and Hill Green was definitely part of that conversation. So, I mean, the coaches are – guys do this, right? You get a guy, he looks good his freshman year, and they doesn't see the field that much because he's a freshman, but then he turns out to be pretty good. I mean, that's plausible.
It does happen, but we're talking about Nakai Hill Green here, who doesn't have much of a recruiting profile. I liked him more than that when I did his profile last year, but not – redshirt freshman starting at linebacker on the inside enough, right? That doesn't feel great to me.
I mean, I think it's got more upside than using Barrett there. And Barrett was really a Viper last year, and I was a little bit concerned about him at weak side linebacker because anytime he was asked to do linebacker things, example Wisconsin, he was not good at it.
Well, we'll see how it goes here. So these
and the coaches really believe in Hill Green. They put him up for media availability last week, and they just came out and said he's our starting guy. So, like,
that's true. Who are the alternatives though? Barrett.
Barrett. You know.
Barrett is the alternative.
He was the incumbent.
Or Junior Colson, but he got hurt in the end of fall camp. So I think he was. I mean, he was running with the twos.
And we're just not hearing anything about Khalil Mullings.
He's come on a little bit late.
Yeah, he. I mean, he was always going to be his. takeoff point was supposed to be next year anyway. Like
he was always a very rare guy. You're a raw guy. That's not a big surprise.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I'm used to like the normal, like there are four defensive linemen and there are three linebackers and we're spending a segment on two guys. So say something interesting about him.
Josh Ross seems to have be a lot more comfortable in this defense than he was in the last one. I know that we always thought Josh Ross was a Don Brown guy, but I think that he was trying to make up for a lot of the mistakes of the linemen last year and was getting himself out of position. And the Josh Ross that we saw as a redshirt freshman was a really good player. I mean, we liked him better than Devin Gill. And
I mean,
that was...
Yes.
But he was a freshman when we were liking him better than Devin Gill. And now he's like a team leader. They've been pretty consistent. I mean, it's one of those things where like they had to be, but they've been pretty consistent in their praise of him to the point where he's gotten to that Ronnie Bell level of like, Josh Ross is great. Let's talk about the other guys.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, come back, and when we return, you will want to hide the women and children and probably the men.
We have a lot in common. You rode the bus to Bursley, so did Larry Page, and so did I. And we all love MGO Blog. I'm Nick Hopwood, your MGO financial coach. My entire family went to Michigan State, but I was the smart one finding my way to Ann Arbor to study econ. I've been a financial planner for 17 years, earning the designation Certified Financial Planner, and founded Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth. Oh, you're pretty smart, and you probably have a sweet retirement spreadsheet already. My job is to make sure. As a financial coach, I make sure you're on track, or if you're not on track, I tell you exactly what you're going to need to do. And if you listen, I'll be able to tell you how your future should look, just like the knowledge. And I have cool charts and graphs to tell the story, sort of like the Mathlete. To learn more or schedule time to chat, check out peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He looked at my insurance, and he's like, yeah, your coverage sucks, and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games. Well, and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually like reads MGO Blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together and you will save money on your insurance and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease. Dum, da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum,
da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum. If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, trying to collect sizes and payments for a family reunion, or, you know, ordering a whole bunch of shirts with your Kickstarter, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with their easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, wasting time trying to sort out the order. They'll set it up, you can just sit back and relax. They'll even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit them at any of their convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirt.com.
Use your imagination. Have you got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth?
out of some aces up your sleeve. Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, and spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? Sad to see you go, was sorta hoping that you'd stay. Baby, we both know that the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day.
All right, here it is, guys. The secondary. Now, the cornerbacks return. They are.
Do you want to do cornerbacks first? Do you really want to, like,
I just want to
get it over with.
Pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
So Vincent Gray and Jamon Green both return after years last year. I mean, Jamon Green, I actually thought, had a solid improvement over the course of his season.
When Jamon Green played man, he was fine.
Yes.
When they switched to zone, he had no idea what was going on.
Along with everybody else on the defense.
And the fans and you know, pretty much everybody but the other team's quarterback who knew exactly what was going on.
And Vincent Gray
got passed. Yeah.
I was going to say, he turned in probably the worst cornerback performance I have ever seen from a Michigan corner in the Michigan State game.
I've gone through a lot of Michigan's history back to, like, the first year, and...
are you talking about, like, 1881 or AD1?
I would say 1879.
I know I just implied that I thought the first year was AD1. I do not actually think that. I just had to say that.
Thank you. It was 1879, and since 1879, it's plausible it was the worst performance by a Michigan player ever.
Wait, player?
Like, by the worst performance.
I can think of one immediately.
Who had a worse game?
Yes.
Oh, Mundy?
No. Are we talking, like
Stevie
you said,
Brown?
You said,
I'm going through all the safeties of the bad years.
You're sticking just with the secondary. I was thinking about John O'Korn against Ohio State.
Oh.
Which, we just bring up all the fun things in this podcast.
Yeah, so...
Would anyone else like a swift punch to the crotch?
I mean, if you wanted to argue that, I would actually make an argument, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to move right on to the guy who passed him, which is DJ Turner.
The second,
right.
Thank you.
DJ Turner, which is helpful, because there was a Maryland DJ Turner, so, like, DJ Turner 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was not, like, another very highly recruited guy, but... He has reasons why he was kind of injured last year and the year before, so it's plausible that now that he's available,
they have talked him up fairly consistently, which made his lack of playing time extremely confusing. And then he got on the field a little bit and didn't look very good.
Yeah, but nobody looked good in that game.
No, it's true. And
they said he was hurt last year, and that's one where I kind of believe it because they were talking about that in preseason.
Mm.
So yeah, that might work. I don't know. I there's a very good case to be made that they're only talking about DJ Turner because they really can't talk about Vincent Gray with any, you know, straight face.
Whenever they talk about Vincent Gray, it's always just like, we know who he is.
He's got his confidence. He's feeling a lot stronger.
That's so mean.
There's no... Yeah, the next guy they're talking about is George Johnson, who is...
The converted quarterback / converted wide receiver.
Right.
So there was an interesting thing earlier in the fall camp when they asked Ronnie Bell, like, who's the most frustrating corner? And he was like, well, George Johnson III gives me a lot of trouble. And people were like, oh, really?
Another cornerback name? What?
And then the coaches have mostly talked about him as like a next year type of guy, that they like his development, but...
So the nickel corner...
Is Dax Hill.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we ready to go to Dax? Or you wanna,
sure, we can talk about Dax.
Do you
want
to go any deeper into the cornerback depth chart?
Well,
we
I mean...
go further.
We're going to have... I mean, these guys are not going to play every snap this year, right? So, like...
I mean, have
more people pass Vincent Gray?
Not pass, but, I mean, Jaden McBurrows is a guy they've liked since the spring.
Well, what happened? We got, like... Green Warren last year and Seldon last year. Like,
they're missing in action.
Not heard a thing about them. The only thing about any of them is that last year I heard Seldon was probably unavailable for COVID reasons.
Oh.
And, you know, that's believable, but we haven't heard him this spring, so, yeah.
I mean, we've heard more Eamon Dennis talk than Darian Greenwarren talk.
Yes.
I mean, Greenwarren's thing was like, he's a really good cornerback, he just can't run.
Yes.
Where have we heard that before?
And I was like...
But they made him a four-star because of it, because he's so crafty and stuff.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. If it was his own defense, maybe that is much better for him.
They're saying they're going to do a lot more zone this year, but yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, we've not seen anything, right?
Yeah.
No one sees anything, so they could be pulling anything out right now, and we wouldn't know. But John McBurrows is the one I think that
Jaden.
Like, Jaden. God, I still do that even though I know it.
DeJulius.
That's my DeJulius of the year. It's the way he spells it, but it's Jaden. Anyway, I mean, I liked his film a lot. He played at Aquinas, so it's not like he hasn't seen five-star receivers. So, I mean, the level of play that he's been at is going to be a lot closer to what he's going to have to do. And cornerback is a lot easier to translate to, you know, can you flip your hips? Can you run? And if you can do those things, you can kind of play. So,
why did we recruit all the ones who can't?
You know, we could go back and do that if you want to.
All right.
I thought you wanted to.
All right, let's talk about Dax Hill. Just talk about Dax Hill.
Get hype.
Get hype.
The best cover guy on the team, clearly.
Will never be thrown at.
Yes. And, well, and we play a lot of teams that have, like, one wide receiver, so that's not actually a terrible thing.
You think they're going to, like, match him?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, the comments they've been making already have been like, oh, I'll play cornerback, safety, nickel, wherever you need me. And, like, that's been the theme with Dax Hill this year, is that, like, we love this guy, team player, we'll do anything we ask. And I translate that to, we need a corner, and Dax is going to be probably, I mean, Dax is going to be on the field, he'll probably be at safety when they are in, like, a, you know, they're 5'2", but like I said, they're going to play a lot of nickel, and he's going to be the nickel because they trust the other safeties more than they do going into the cornerback or linebacker depth charts.
Brad Hawkins returns for, God, he must be 25 now.
I had a whole thread on Twitter about Brad Hawkins is so old.
Yeah.
And, like, everything was true. I didn't have to go into the lies.
And so he's slow.
He's fine.
Slow.
Fine.
Slow.
I mean, okay, you match anybody against Speedy Eaglet. You know what he did? He looks against KJ Hamler the same way that NFL safeties have looked against
okay,
KJ
but
Hamler.
What about Isaiah Pacheco?
He does that to people too, to be honest.
Come on.
And he got
I'll give you KJ Hamler, but
so we're gonna hold that one play against him because every Michigan player that we like has one play.
No, I mean that's different. It's not it wasn't a mental mistake. It was just like I can't catch this guy, and I think you saw that manifest last year because they were able to get over the top of Hawkins on a semi-regular basis. Now a lot of these were just straight shots down the sideline because it was like who's Vincent Gray covering,
right?
So that's hard to get over, but like this was not a guy who has a lot of range.
Yeah, I mean that's his one limitation. They're still talking about him like he is the, you know, but he's the dude, and you know Michigan might have the best safety combo in the Big Ten, and I mean that's gonna happen, man. Like there's so much speed out there.
I mean
like,
Dax Hill plus ambulatory human might be the best safety combo in the Big Ten, so maybe.
Yeah, speaking of ambulatory humans, they are pretty sure R.J. Moten is ready to play. Like, he's been talking about, like, he's on the ones.
Moten's the baseball one.
Did I get him mixed up again?
Did you?
I always do that. No, wait a minute. R.J. is the, you know.
Jordan Morant is the kid from New Jersey with perfect form tackling. R.J. Moten is the baseball guy.
R.J. Moten.
Really?
R.J. Yes. Moten is the baseball guy.
They made him available to media last week. Like, he's going to play.
Yeah.
That is out of nowhere, really.
I mean, not out of nowhere. No, he came in pretty raw, but really athletic.
Yes, yes.
I know, but that is
out of nowhere.
No, I mean, we have a super.
Not
athlete.
As out of nowhere as like all the backup defensive linemen. I'll give you that. This guy transferred from Brown, and he's a computer engineer. That's not good.
This is not out of nowhere. This is like we have an athlete in the secondary. He's gonna play.
Okay.
And Makari Page played last year.
Yes, right. And looked very much like a true freshman.
Yep.
Right, but I mean, they were willing to put him on the field last year, so
I think had to would probably be a better phrasing of that.
Yeah, I mean the fact that they're talking about Moten as a first teamer first tells you that they're going to be playing a lot more nickel, and that they're going to bring Dax Hill down, and then they're going to have Moten be the second high guy. Mm. And it tells you, too, that they really like him, because they could have just run with Makari Page again, because he was, you know, playing last year. So, I mean, those are believable things.
Always good.
And he was a pretty fairly high four-star. Like, no one disliked him, right? No. Rivals disliked him.
Well,
there
yeah.
you go. The thing that might make you nervous is I think the next guy on the safety depth chart is Kaden Kolasar.
Well, he's fifth down, right? I mean, if we go past
Hawkins, Hill,
Dax, Moten, Page, I mean, right. then we're getting into the threes. So,
well,
yeah,
I had high hopes for Jordan Baran, actually.
Yeah, he's missing in action.
He just got the screw out of his ankle. So okay. he's yeah.
Oh, that's right. He had like a terrible, terrible injury. That's right. Never mind.
Right. Like Braden McGregor, failed to mention him too, but he's another guy where like they like him a lot, still not maybe 100% from his injury and like way behind because of that. So like
yeah, he was always gonna be just a redshirt guy this year.
Yeah.
And also he's a defensive end, so we don't want to confuse people with bringing him up here.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, I we didn't mention him before, so I thought we'd bring him up. They also starting to already talk about Rod Moore, the freshman this year, who I liked his film a lot too. And then everyone else is, you know, they have this whole pile of corners.
Yeah, Jalen Perry.
Yeah, not even worth.
Corners who can't run, who they like, maybe they can play safety?
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically took the corners who couldn't run and made them safeties, and made the safeties who couldn't run and made them corners. And
I've been massaging my temples for a full hour.
Hey, I think the safeties is the deepest group here.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, if Makari Page is out there, then you're pretty much fine. And Kaden Kolasar, you forget, like, remember when Dax Hill... We were comparing Dax Hill and Kaden Kolasar's times, and everything but the 40, Kaden was like matching Dax Hill at like the top of the charts when they went to the opening together. So like
Kaden Kolasar?
Kaden Kolasar is an athlete, and don't forget his dad is Johnny Kolasar.
Did he go to the opening? Why would Kaden Kolasar go to the opening?
Because his dad's Johnny Kolasar, and he.
Do you mean the opening regional?
Yes, the opening
okay.
regional. But they,
right. I was a little confused.
But
there.
they got all the times down, and Kaden Kolasar and Dax Hill. We're like the number one, where Dax Hill was number one.
I cannot countenance this optimism. This is not.
And his father, I remind you.
Yes, I know who his father is.
Johnny Kolasar. And his grandfather was great too. And you know what? None of those guys looked like anything as freshmen. So every single time we've gotten a Kolasar, we've been like, oh, walk on, who cares? And then it turns into a Kolasar. So maybe.
So you're invoking the rule of Glasgow?
I'm saying that maybe the rule of Glasgow was originally the rule of Kolasar.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, come back, and try to slap this sandwich together and see what the filling is.
It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom-printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle, whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, UGP is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing down people to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out the order. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Hi, this is Matt Demarest from Homeshare Lending. By now, you've probably read about my company on MGO blog, and I wanted to introduce you to a couple of the most important people in my life, my sons Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
I'm 7 and a half.
Colby, how old are you?
I'm 5.
Okay, boys, I have 3 really important questions to ask you. Who's your favorite team?
Michigan.
Who's going to win the big game?
The Wolverines.
And if you could buy or refinance a house with any company, who would you use?
Homeshare Lending.
Good boys. Homeshare Lending, 855-6-BE-SURE. Visit us online if that works better for you. Homeshurelending.com. HOMESURE Lending.com. We've helped Brian, Seth, and a bunch of readers buy or refinance their homes, and we'd love to help you too. All right, only thing left to do. Boys, can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue.
Homeshare Lending, NMLS number 1161358. Again, give us a call, 855-6-BE-SURE.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security. Performance.
Conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let human elements show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
I grew up in a small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed a lot of great people making a lot of poor financial decisions. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to have my retirement at risk. Over the last 17 years, my team has developed and refined our process, which helps people understand what's important to them and what they value most. And because people don't have pensions anymore, we're adding in multiple income streams during retirement. At Peak Wealth Management, our goal is to build long-lasting relationships, and we do that by building trust, by showing our integrity, and letting them know how much we care. And that's one of the most important things we do here at Peak, is understand your goals and help you get there.
This is a song that's been used by many subcultures over the years. It's a folk song. Many agendas have been spirited forward by this song, and we think it's a good song. We never have played this song as a joke, and we're going to play it for you now because it's only right to leave you with a little bit of false hope at the end of the concert. Thank you very much for coming. We'll see you next time. I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along, and so you're back.
All right, so here we go. We've got five defensive linemen on the field. We got two linebackers. We got Dax Hill and some other guys. We have a totally new system with a first-time defensive coordinator. I think we've replaced all but one of the defensive coaches.
Except Sean Nua was the guy who returned.
How is this going to be good?
Now, how do you want me to print? Do you want me to do like the optimistic case?
No, I want you to like talk me off the ledge here.
The Ravens pulled it off.
I think the Ravens personnel might be a little better suited to what the Ravens do.
That's true. They also play in a more difficult league than the Big Ten, Ryan. Did you watch Illinois-Nebraska yesterday? I mean,
I was on a plane.
We play one of those teams. Anyway,
is it the one that won?
No, we played the one that lost.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
No. Yes, Illinois is very happy that Nebraska saved Big Ten football forever. Anyway, it might work not great, but like you're changing the dynamic to like we're gonna get beat by every. Hold on a second.
All right.
Okay. It's not going to be Michigan State last year, right?
Okay.
It's never going to be that bad ever again in your lifetime. That's a once in 100 years, things come off the rails that far.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So, like, just banish that from your mind. All right? Could it be like Wisconsin last year? That's something that Michigan has managed to do again. One or two games might go that badly, but the answer to that is it's going to take a lot more gambles. This is going to be a lot more. We're going to try to confuse you. We're going to have guys in places that you don't expect them to be. It's not going to be, okay, how do you study for Michigan? Let's line up against cover one and beat them. And once they could beat us, then like we threw everything out last year. So like last year they were just such a mess. Like they threw out their defense. They threw out the Don Brown defense and just ran cover two and cover three at the end of the season last year. Were they bad at it? Yes. Why were they bad at it? They'd never run it before, right? So last year was just a freaking disaster, and it was a COVID year, and throw it out, and then come back to, like, do we have the personnel to run this the way it's supposed to be run? And no, we don't, because we don't have the cornerbacks.
Also,
not necessarily the line.
Also.
And the linebackers are a little iffy, and
so.
I just named all three units.
So we don't have any outside linebackers.
Okay.
We're playing outside linebackers.
I'm not going to agree with you that Aiden Hutchinson can't play. Like, where you put that guy is going to be an effectual position.
I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, he's essentially a defenseman. And then the other guy, who actually does need to be a flexible human being and not be a defensive lineman, is David Ojabo.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
No. I mean, Upshaw is the other guy on the other side that they're starting probably.
Also a defensive end. They have a nose tackle who's a two-gap nose tackle with endurance problems and no backup.
Okay. How often do you think they're going to be in this 5-2? This base 5-2, which we're imagining is their thing. How often is Wisconsin in their 3-4?
Well, last year, not very much.
Yeah.
But
they go to a nickel. So when you go to a nickel, you move one of those linemen.
So we're like a 2-4-5. That's what it is?
Yeah, but it's a 2-4-5. That's really a 4-2-5. It's just another, you know.
Except the defensive end stand up.
We've changed the terminology. I don't care if you're standing up the defensive ends or not. Like,
sure.
It doesn't change that much of what.
So Dax Hill is your Viper, and nothing has changed. Well, sorry, I'm just trying.
Here's what's changed is that the team should be coached this year as opposed to last year.
We have a safeties coach.
And
I really like Ron Bellamy, by the way. I think Ron Bellamy is going to be like one of those Partridge-level hires where like he should not have been in high school as long as he was, and now it's going to like be takeoff.
I mean, in watching the tape back a few months ago just from last season, it was so apparent a lot of the time that was just like nobody knows what's going on. They're not coached at all. And if they can just have a scheme and be coached and know what they're doing, that right there is an improvement.
I mean, you have this is how you have to frame it. You have to say last year was way worse than like by every single measure except for SP plus, because he like was taking, we didn't play enough games for him to say like this is statistically relevant. That's the only good number you can come up with for Michigan's defense last year. They were off the table, awful. And I mean, I wrote an article last year, which has to be like the worst titled article in the history of MGo blog, "Won't Somebody Please Coach Dax Hill?"
Yep.
Like, that's what we're coming back from. So that trip back from, like, you know, Rutgers putrid to just, you know, kind of okay. And then you add, some, like, the fact that we have some guys who have some talent on this team.
I've done this so many times. Like, I've been like, all right, so how far can a defense go or an offense go in 1 year from being complete donkey poo?
Uh-huh.
Like, I did it with Rich Rod. I've done this so many times.
And then when you were finally ready to give up, because I went and read your preview on this again, it was 2011, where you're like, that's it. It's not going to work. You're not going to bring in some defensive coordinator from the Ravens and have them run Raven stuff and actually have it work. It's not going to happen. And you know what? It wasn't that great of a defense. 2011, if you go back, they were a defense that took risks.
They were mediocre.
They were mediocre, and getting to mediocre would be a huge improvement this year. And how did they get there?
Do you think that's possible?
Yes. I absolutely think that you have Aiden Hutchinson out there. You have Dax Hill out there. You can, you have some talented guys. Not all of them are going to be busts.
That's a good motto. Michigan football 2021, where mediocrity is possible.
It would really help to get turnover luck, too.
Yeah, well, that would once in my goddamn life.
Do you know who had the most turnover luck last year? Ohio State, number one in the country in turnover luck last year.
Well, at some point, we just have to admit that it's not luck, and that God is a malevolent entity that hates us.
I've told you for years that we are living in an Ohio State kids dynasty.
That's my joke.
No, it was my joke first. You stole it from me. I have logged my time with this.
Sir! I'm slapping. I don't have a glove, but I'm slapping it.
We're going to have to go back. All right, there's the challenge. Go back in the archives and find which one of us made that joke first. I'm pretty sure I started it.
No, because I've thought that for a long time. Anyway, this is not interesting. We're going to make it stop.
Thank you for listening to the MGo podcast. I'm Seth Fisher, along with Brian Cook and Alex Train. It almost worked.
All right, I'm less rusty at this now because I have literally just done this an hour ago. This is the defensive segment of the Michigan.
You're much smoother, way smoother.